Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Matthew 28, verse number 6 and 7. The angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Can I use your imagination this morning? Can you imagine the walk early that morning for these ladies? Most likely walking by lamplight. The sun hadn't risen yet. Maybe they were even walking by moonlight. They are burdened down with the variety of spices and ointment. Not only are they physically burdened down, they are emotionally and mentally bound. Less than 3 days ago, they watched Jesus die on the cross, a horrific event that their mind's eye can't unsee. Most likely, they walk in silence. Not much to say, each wondering how they were even going to roll the stone away so that they could even address the body. Nothing had made sense these past few days. From the triumphal entry to the Last Supper, to the mock trial, the unnecessary beating Jesus took, and then to tip it off, an innocent man being crucified for doing nothing but good. They knew the Romans were cruel, but this even went beyond the normal Roman way. The religious leaders whom they had trusted not just 4 or 5 years ago have shown their bigotry and selfishness, showing their wickedness that Jesus had called out these last 3 years. I'm sure the walk was a long one, and then again, not long enough. For they knew here in just a few more steps, a few more minutes, they would be looking on the one whom they called Jesus. The one in whom all their hope and trust lied. And he was dead. Now they're at the tomb, and the stone has been rolled away. Helpful for sure, but strange. Did someone know they were coming? Have they been followed? What has happened? On further observation, they see that not only the stone has been rolled away, but the body of Jesus is gone. Sudden panic, maybe a little anger sets in. Confusion for sure. Where is he? Who took him? Why did they take him? Is this some kind of governmental statement? Had the religious leaders not been appeased? Were they going to mutilate even more the unrecognizable body of the Lord? Were they going to burn him? What's going on? What can be done? What can we do? Suddenly, an angel begins to speak. The very first words out of this angel's mouth was words that they so desperately needed to hear, but wasn't sure it was possible. "Fear not, ye." Poignant words and direct. Maybe the gardeners needed to fear. Maybe the Roman soldiers needed to be afraid, but these Marys, they needed not to be afraid. Because what started out as a sad ending to a week was fixing to turn into the most glorious of events that has ever taken place. What started out as a sad ending to a week. What started out as fear was going to be turned into joy. What started out as concern was going to be proven to be conquering. What ended in darkness was going to be turning to dawn. What ended in hopelessness was found out to be the only hope we would ever have. I want us for just a few minutes this morning to listen to the words of this angel. I want us to hear what he tells these ladies. I want us to understand that this message, this messenger, had a divine message, a great message. And the very last thing he tells these ladies was this: "Lo, I have told you." So this morning, we're going to look at what this angel had said, and lo, he had told them. Now, Father, this day is recognized as your Son's day. Every day should be. He's worthy. Now, Lord, I am not the master of the wind, but you are. And for the next 20 to 30 minutes, if you could calm the wind, if that would be your perfect will, so that there'd be no distractions, or use the wind as illustration, your perfect will be done. But Father, I pray that under the sound of my voice, if there's anyone that doesn't know your Son Jesus, I pray that they'll trust him today. For we, the believers, that will be ready to meet him, and that we'll live our life not in fear, but in trust. And we'll do what this angel told these ladies to do. We praise your Son's holy name, and it's in his name we pray. May the Spirit dwell with us and meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that I want us to see is the outstanding report. The outstanding report. What ended in hopelessness was found out to be the only hope we would ever have. "For he is not here," the angel said. This was an obvious yet important point. The ladies had already seen he wasn't there. They had already seen that. They knew that. And one of the reasons they were so distraught was because he wasn't there. But there was something comforting about the way the angel said it. This angel knew he wasn't there. So is it possible that this angel knew where he was? And of course the answer is yes. Because he is not there, he is risen. No one has taken him away. He hasn't been stolen. He hasn't been assisted. The stone wasn't rolled away for his benefit. It was rolled away for their benefit and for our benefit. He is risen. He isn't in the grave. He is no longer among the dead. He is risen. As these words engulf the thoughts of these ladies, maybe even to the point of being dizzy, they hear the angel continue. Because now the angel is going to reveal to them the obvious information that they should have already known. So let's now see the obvious revealed. The angel basically says this: "He told you." Ladies, don't you remember him telling you? Four times previous to Matthew chapter 28, Jesus himself tells the disciples and tells his followers that he will die and that he will be resurrected. Four times. They heard him, but they weren't listening. He told them, but they were too busy thinking about how they would rule the kingdom with him. They didn't see this part of prophecy, although they could have read Isaiah 53 that was written 700 years earlier, and they could have understand more what was supposed to take place. Isaiah 53 said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Instead, they didn't want to see the valleys from the mountaintop. However, this valley that they were in was the pivotal point of all of mankind. Without this valley, no one would have ever had hope. See, my friend, it should have been obvious, but it wasn't. Jesus had warned them. He had told them. It should have been obvious. But can we be too hard on these ladies? We shouldn't be. How many times has he told us in his word that things will wax worse and worse, and yet we never see it coming? How many times have we heard that there will be a time when our religious freedoms will be taken away, and we think that it will never happen? How many times have we been warned that the world will hate us and not embrace us, yet we seem to be shocked and surprised at certain outcome? Has He not warned us? Yes, sometimes we miss it. We are all thinking of the rapture at this time, and rightfully so. We should be listening for a trumpet, but I think we thought it would not be too awfully hard on those that were listening for the trumpet. But Jesus has promised us troubles and trials, yet we're surprised by them. And let us listen more. Because we might have heard Jesus, but have we been listening? The obvious revelation when the angel said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Basically, he told these ladies, "See for yourself." Again, this is obvious. They look in and He isn't there. I love it that if you have the finances and time, you can travel across the Atlantic Ocean. You can continue to travel across the Mediterranean Sea. You can land in Jerusalem. You can walk up to the grave where they believe Jesus had laid, and it's still empty to this day, which is a miraculous feat, seeing that those graves were so expensive. But yet nobody, after Christ resurrected, dare lay in that grave again. Maybe Joseph of Arimathea decided not to use it because of what it represented. I don't know. But I'm thankful that I can go and physically see the place where Christ lay, and I can see that it is still empty. But I know He lives, not because there's a tomb that's empty, but because the Bible tells me He lives. And one day, I'm going to see Him face to feet, because my face will be at His feet, worshiping Him, the one who died for my sins. Number three, I want us to see the order requested. The order requested. We have the outstanding report. We have the obvious revealed. Now, the order requested. The angel says something here. He says, "Go quickly." Now that's the opposite of slowly. Make haste. Faster than you got here, go. No time to waste. I suppose they could take all those spices and ointments that they had brought in. They could just throw them into the bushes. They're not needed. Go quickly. No time to waste. Why quickly? Well, I suppose we could come up with some reasons why the angel told them to go quickly. Maybe it's because the angel knew that Jesus was only going to be on the earth for 40 days. And time was a-wasting. Or maybe the angel knew that this information needed to be gotten out quickly so more people could come to know quickly. Maybe the angel knew these ladies were going to explode if they couldn't tell somebody. I don't know. But I do know He told them to go quickly. Well, if we're going to go quickly, what were they to do? The order was to go quickly and tell the disciples that Jesus lives. Let me give you an application this morning. See, we're to go quickly to tell people that Jesus is alive and is coming again. Tell people that they will see Him one day and they need to get ready to meet Him. We don't have time to waste because the time is short. The more we tell, the better. I do hope that it is in our hearts to tell people or will explode. My final point this morning is the opportunity required. The opportunity required. The angel tells them that Jesus will go before them into Galilee. The obvious thing is this. If Jesus is in Galilee, that's where you'll want to be too. If you don't go, you won't see Him because that's where He's at. Now, I know that Jesus is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. But we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about go to Galilee because that's where you'll see Him. If you want to see Him, go to Him. If you want to see Him, you need to be where He's at. Now, I know that Jesus is omnipresent, but the angel wasn't talking about his omniscience and omnipresence. The angel was talking about His physical presence. Do you realize that Jesus is omnipresent, but yet He is physically somewhere? Where is He physically at? Well, the Bible says that He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So, yes, I know that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. I know that Jesus and God the Father are omniscient. But I want you to know that Jesus is physically somewhere. Even though His Spirit is everywhere, He is physically somewhere. And the angel was telling them, He is physically in Galilee. And if you want to see Him, you need to go to Galilee. I want you to know that Jesus is sitting in the heavenlies. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I do want to be in heaven someday. And I want to see Him physically. You know, some of my family members, my daughters were watching, my wife were watching Jesus, the story that was shown in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, at Sight and Sounds. And I walk in at the end of it, and well, in the middle of it or somewhere, and my wife says how wonderful it is. And I'm sure it was. I didn't get to watch it. But the Jesus that I saw in that drama, I sure hope that Jesus doesn't look like that. Puny, weak, long hair, fair complected. Be honest with you, I don't know what He looks like either. And I know that they did the best they could. I don't know what His eyes look like, but I'm sure they're full of compassion and mercy. I don't know what His hands look like, but I know that they're scarred for me. I don't know what His feet look like, but I know that they're scarred for me. You know, the only man-made thing in heaven are the wounds that we put on Christ at the cross. Friend, I want you to know that I will see Him one day. And in order for you to see Him one day the way you want to see Him, the way for you to be with Him, not just for 40 days, but for all eternity, is to go where He's at. Now, I want to go to heaven someday. I'm not looking to get on the next train out. I don't want to be in heaven before He's ready for me to be in heaven. But I do know that when that time comes, I will be with Jesus. Will you? I pray that you will be. I hope that you'll be with Him. You can be. You can physically see Jesus one day. The angel told them to go to a specific place. And I want you to know that Jesus is at a specific place. And if you'll put your faith and trust in Him, you'll be where He's at one day. Where He goes before us and waits. What a day that will be. If you're saved this morning and you know Christ, how are you handling things? Worried? Fearful? Surprised? Have we not been listening to what He has been saying? Or have we been just hearing but not listening? Are we ready to meet Him? Are we telling others about Him quickly? And if you are lost, you need to pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. That one that died and was wounded for your sin and mine. The one that paid the price so that you could live in heaven one day. I want you to know, whether you're listening by the car, by Facebook, whether you're a neighbor and you can't help but listening because we're so loud, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you so that he wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. And I want you to know, if you'll pray and ask him to come into your heart right now, he will save you from your sin. You can live with him forever. That's not a fictitious story. That's the greatest story ever told. That Jesus, the God of the universe, loves you and died for you. And if you, wherever you're sitting, will pray and call on the name of the Lord, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, for who's 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you are a sinner. Jesus paid for that sin. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The most familiar Bible verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He died for you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever, that's anyone, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're sitting there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can call on him today, and he will save you from your sin.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.